He heard our cry. Picks us up out of horrible pits. Establish us on a solid rock. Amen. While you're standing, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Here at Lighthouse Church, every year, you can see all around our building, I dropped that one down. I forgot to put it back up because of the message we had last week, but it was moving forward. But for years, we have a theme that we feel the Lord wants us to kind of be the main focus or overview of that particular year. And this year is Engage. On the first Sunday of each month, we talk about it a little bit more particularly. Again, for God trying to wake us up to what He wants us to be doing. So I want to teach you a little bit here to start. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 26. The Bible says, and Paul is talking here. He says, I therefore so run, or I engage, but not as uncertainly, so fight I. Not as one that just beats the air. We get excited here in this church, and I hope I lead by example about us being exciting. I think living for God is the most exciting thing that there is. And I don't know about you, I live my life with passion. And if I go to a Cubs game, I'm going to shout with the best of them. And my Bears finally drafted a good quarterback this past weekend. I'm going to shout with the Bears. And you go shout with the Chiefs or the Saints or whoever else you go shout with. Come on, somebody. But when it comes to the things of God, there's no comparison to my shout to the one who has saved me, delivered me, kept me, and then will continue to teach me. I've got to worship Him and praise Him. So when I talk about engaging, I'm not talking about just excitement. And so today I want to talk to you about engaging in the right battle. Because I can engage all day long but be fighting the wrong thing. I can be following the theme but not even doing what God wants me to do. So allow me to teach you here this morning. Amen. You may be seated here in the house of the Lord. We have been talking and preaching and learning about engaging. Being intentional to get equipped to address our enemies, fight our enemies, and be proactive against our enemies. I love that word, proactive. If I can preach on anything, I hate to take a side note, but I tell people, you got to be proactive against the attacks of your enemy. You cannot sit there with your door unlocked and allow him to walk in. You got to go where he's at and take the battle to him by knowing your flaws and knowing your weaknesses and taking those things proactively to God in prayer to become a victorious person. I have to warn you, when I preach, I'm only preaching to people who want to be victorious. The majority of my message are geared towards people who want more. And so if you're somebody here that you're just content with life and you're okay with where you're at, then the majority of my messages probably are not going to affect you whatsoever. But if you are an individual that is not satisfied with where you are with your walk with God, not satisfied with your life, want more out of life, I'm going to tell you, you are underneath the right preacher here this morning, because I'm going to preach to you about allowing the conviction of God and the plan of God and the power of God take you further than you ever thought you could go by yourself. And so we have to have a mentality that says, I am going to be proactive against my enemy, to not to allow my enemy just to have free access into my heart and free access into my mind, not to allow the enemy to distract us from the things that we should be doing in order to grow in our walk with God. You cannot allow the enemy to simply distract you with every trouble and situation that comes your way. Every single one of us are going to have trouble, tests, and trials. But no matter what tests and trials and situations come your way, do not allow the enemy to allow you to focus on your trouble. What we all need to do is simply look to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. Because when you begin to get a vision of God for your life, the only thing you begin to see is not problems. The only thing you see are solutions. He's a God of solutions. As we are in May of 2021, before we go into another Engage lesson next month after that, we must be sure that we are engaging the right enemy. We can engage all that we want to, Brother Damone, but if I'm fighting and focusing in on the wrong enemy, I have a problem. I might be wasting my time and spinning my wheels and not progressing as I thought I should for this year if I don't know what I'm supposed to be fighting correctly. We have to fight. Everyone say amen. We have to engage. Say amen. But let's be sure that we are engaging against the right things. This is very important, because if we engage in the wrong things, it can spell out even more problems for us than we anticipated. And there will be more frustration for us. King Saul was someone that fits this bill of fighting wrong battles. King Saul was engaging against David, who was working for him. King Saul had issues engaging and destroying who he was supposed to engage with and who he was supposed to destroy. He was supposed to destroy the Amalekites. He was supposed to engage his enemy, the enemy who abused Israel while they were weak in the wilderness. And this struck a chord in my spirit, because again, from a perspective of a pastor, you see many times people come to God and they are dealing with so many issues. Let me tell you, things are complicated in 2021. Can I tell you, it's not just cut and dry and black and white many times. There are many things that we don't have a quick answer for. Are you dealing with things in your life that you just can't flip on a switch for that thing to turn around? There's some complicated issues and some complicated things we've been dealing with. But what I find how the enemy works is here is the reason why God wanted to allow the Amalekites to be destroyed. Because it was when the Israelites were in the wilderness. They were fresh out of Egypt, which is a type of sin. And they're just now trying to find their footing, and they're trying to find the right way to walk with God and to live for God. We find that the Amalekites came and abused them and attacked them in their weakness. And let me tell you, that's just like your enemy. That when you have weak moments, that's when he comes to try to take you out. And when you're going through different things in your life, the enemy wants to move in. And that is something God absolutely hates. God, I want you to know, it hates it when you're facing issues right now in your life. The devil brings in more trouble, and he brings in more heartache and pain to keep you weak and to keep you down. And that's why God rose up Saul in that hour and say, I will always be a refuge and be a vengeance for the people of God who have my name
name upon them. I will no way, no how allow Satan to move in and destroy you in your weakness. Can I tell someone the word of God? In your weakness, you can become strong because God sees you in your weakness. And in your weakness, God wants to strengthen the heads that hang down and to strengthen those that have feeble knees. I want to give you a word of promise today that no matter what weakness you are dealing with, God won't allow the devil to rush in and take you out. But God will say, I will raise up a man or a woman that will raise up a strong hand and say, how dare you try to hurt my saint of God in their weakness. And some are going through struggles right now and going through storms right now, and the devil's moving in right now. Let me tell somebody, get ready for God to speak something and say, I refuse to allow you to be in a place where I won't step in and help you in the middle of your weakness. Because you might be weak right now. Let me tell you, God is trying to raise up somebody to help you in your weakness. But that was the problem with Saul. Saul, you had a responsibility to kill those things that were trying to kill you. And let me tell everybody under the sound of my voice, there are some things that right now they're trying to kill you. And you cannot be like Saul. And you cannot play games with it. And you cannot make excuses about it. But there has to be something like Samuel got there. And he said, give me that king. And he cut his head off, or he stabbed him. He did something drastic. Because you cannot play games with the enemy of your soul. Cannot play games with the enemy of your soul. There were things that try to destroy you in your weakness, but if you neglect to kill them, they will come back and be a snare to you. And God knew that. And so, Saul, you were supposed to kill the Amalekites. But because you didn't kill what you should have killed, and because you didn't focus on what you should have focused on, because you did not engage what you were supposed to engage in, then there is always going to be something you turn your back on and against that you're not supposed to. When you engage in the wrong battle, you are going to hurt people that are there to support you. Pull up 1 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 8. Saul, you were supposed to kill the Amalekites. We find there was war again. There's always going to be a war. There's always going to be a battle. Church of God, hear me. There's always going to be something that's trying to pull you out of the presence of God, right? We talked about that last week, that it is our utmost desire to be in the presence of God. But if you don't understand, the devil wants you not to be in the presence of God. You will be distracted by everything else. And there was a war again. Everyone say again. But David went out and he fought with the Philistines, and he slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. David was a mighty man of valor, a mighty man of action, a man who knew how to engage. You all know the story of, praise God, David and Goliath, but that was not the last story. On and on again, David finds himself engaging in battles and engaging the enemy, and he's fighting for Israel, but more specifically, he's fighting for Saul. Pull up the next verse. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. And who was there? David played with his hand. Here is David in the previous scripture fighting for the king and fighting for Israel and fighting for the promises of God and fighting so that the people of God could have victory. And here is Saul. He's doing his own thing. And because he was not engaged in the right battle, we find that an evil spirit comes from the Lord. And let me tell you right now, you are in absolute big trouble if God sends an evil spirit towards your way. But at the same time, we find that David was allowed to go. And that's why singing and praising and worshiping God is so important. Here's Saul almost losing his mind, but call for the instrument, call for the minstrel, and call for the psalmist, and play melodies before the presence of God. If you're going through anxiety and if you're going through depression, you got to learn how to turn on worship music and get in the presence of God. It's not God's will for you to live with an evil spirit. It's the will of God for you to have joy. And if
full of glory. It's the will of God for you to have peace that passes all understanding. Let me tell somebody here in this place that are constantly battling with oppression and depression, that's not God's will for your life. God wants to give you a freedom in your heart and in your mind. And David shows up to prove it. And he played before the Lord. And he worshiped God in the presence of Saul. In previous scriptures, we find that it actually helped Saul out. And so here's David fighting for Saul. And here's David worshiping God in the presence of Saul to ease that spirit. But what goes on? What happens in the next verse, brother? And Saul sought to smite David, even to the wall with the javelin. What's the problem? That when you have an evil spirit and when you don't engage in the right battles, you'll find yourself at home with javelins in your hand. You'll find yourself at home with a critical spirit. You'll find yourself at home, praise God, with sarcasm in your mind and an attitude and murmuring. I'm talking to people here that understand when God puts you and when you find yourself in a bad place and you don't know how to worship and praise God, the only thing you're going to be able to do is talk against the church and talk against the man of God. And talk about the people who are hypocrites in the church and what's wrong with the church, and all you can do is focus on all the negative things. Why? Because you didn't take time to learn how to kill the right battles. And now the person that is literally there fighting your battles, oh, y'all ain't hearing me this morning, and the person who's there that's defeating your enemies and fighting on your behalf and trying to worship God and get in the presence of God for you, what do you do? And a javelin in your hand. And you're talking against the things of God. And you're fighting against the things of God. The very things that are there that are trying to get you in the right place. The very things that are trying to get you where you can overcome a thing in your life. And so be careful what you engage in. And he had a javelin in his hand. It's not a healthy posture to be at home with a javelin in your hand. Many people are dealing with evil spirits, heavy spirits, and they find themselves sitting in the house with a weapon in their hand. They are wanting to engage out of a place of hurt and pain. That's where Saul was. He was not out there fighting the Goliaths. He was not there out there fighting in the right wars to see the territory of the kingdom of Israel expanded. What he was doing was fighting against those that are closest to you. And many of you right now, you're having a hard time in the house of God, week in, week out, because you're fighting against those that are the closest to you, those that are trying to be on your side, but you're fighting against your kids, and you're fighting against your husband and your wife, and you're fighting against those that love you. Why? Because you are engaged in the wrong battle. You have been distracted by what God is trying to get you to do. And as a result, there are marital issues right now going on in many lives. Why? Because you're engaged in the wrong thing. You got to deal with not David. The problem is not with David. And please hear me. I'm speaking on spiritual terms, but you got to make it practical for your life. There are things you're fighting against right now that are called David, and David's not the problem. The things you're pushing against and the closest to you, but that's not the problem. You get a javelin in your hand, but that's the wrong posture to be in. You have a fight against David, but the fight is not against David. The fight is within. Can I talk to some people real this morning? You're not battling David. You're not battling outside forces. You're battling the struggle that you're having in your own personal life. There's some things you have not been able to tackle. There's some things you've been not able to overcome. There's some things you've not been able to defeat and get over. There's some problems that you've dealt with for many years, and you're not yet find yourself victory over it. And so instead of dealing with that problem yourself and engaging internally, please hear what I'm saying this morning, and engaging with a mirror and saying, I'm not fighting against you, my sister or my brother, but I'm fighting against, is there anybody fighting against themselves this morning? You better know who the greatest enemy of your soul is, and his name is not Satan. His name is M.E. And everybody to wake up and say, I'm not fighting against the world. I'm not fighting against the devil. If I can understand the fight is within, then I can be honest and get some stuff right, because I can then say, Lord, it ain't my brother. It ain't my, y'all ain't hear me this morning. Stop blaming somebody else for your problems.
Stop blaming everybody else for the things you are dealing with and what you are going through. Sometimes you got to rise up and say, I've been trying to engage against everybody else. I need to engage myself and be honest with myself and say, I got some problems. And you hit it, sister. And we all need to say, I'm a sinner in need of grace. I've been going through a storm, and I'll be honest about it. But one thing I do know, I won't blame anybody. I'll put it on myself, because if I can be honest and engage myself, then I can see a victory. Because when you put the responsibility of it being fixed on you not being the problem, then it's always a variable. And variables change, and variables can change the outcome of something. But when you have a constant and say, what's the common denominator? What is the factor that's always there? And that factor that's always there in your problems is, guess what? You. Am I being honest with somebody today? Am I being honest? And so I got to recognize I got issues. I got problems. And that's why we say I better get to the house of God. Not just that I want to be here. You don't know me. I need to be here. Do I have some honest people that say I'm not here to show off or be somebody I'm not? I'm here because I'm in need of prayer. I'm here because I can't fix it by myself. I'm here because I'm a little crazy at y'all ain't being honest. There's some crazy people at Lighthouse, but I'll be honest about it and say he'll take me as I am, but he won't leave me as I am. If I'm honest, I don't gotta blame you. If I'm honest, I don't have to point my finger. I'll say it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister. It's me, oh Lord. Somebody say it's me. I need a breakthrough. I need a healing. I need a miracle. Clap your hands and shout.
Oh, the Spirit is stirring somebody right now. Talking about being changed. Talking about being rearranged. Talking about having the resources necessary. But I can't access the resources necessary if I always have a javelin in my hand. So David had to leave. Saul ended up dying a horrible death. Peter can relate to us, because Peter was a man of God.
That's what we are here. We're the perfect people's club here. Everybody here has everything together. And Peter was a disciple. Peter walked with Jesus. Peter talked with Jesus. But what I find in this apostle, this disciple, the closest three, find later that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and his hour had come, and Judas brought along the high priest and their team, and Jesus calls Judas friend and betray him. And what does Peter do in his zeal? What does Peter do in his passion? What does Peter do in his righteousness? He has a sword in his hand, and he swipes off the ear of the high priest's servant. And to his surprise, and to mine as well, the first time I read it, because here are those that love you. Here are those that are with you. Here are those that are, quote unquote, on fire for you. Here are those that are trying to do the right things, but they end up doing the wrong thing. Things for the right reasons. Jesus picks up the ear, puts it back on him, and said, put away your sword. Put away my sword. I, I thought we're supposed to stand with you. I thought this is how it was supposed to be done. And most of us might commend him for his heroism and his bravery. But in reality, Jesus did not give him a good compliment at all. Jesus said, put away your sword. Jesus said, you're engaged in the wrong battle. Because sometimes what you think is bad might actually be working out for your good. Peter, you don't really understand what's happening. I'm laying down my life. No one is forcing me to do this. In fact, the Bible says that he says, put up thy sword into your sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? And we go back earlier in the word of the Lord. Jesus was going to be killed. And Peter said, Lord, let it not be so. And Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be from thee, Lord. This shall not happen unto you. Jesus is saying, I'm going to be betrayed. Jesus says, I'm going to be killed. And I'm going to rise on the third day. And Jesus is saying, I've already yielded myself to God's will. I've already yielded myself to the Father. And Peter says, no, no, no. I don't want that to happen. I don't want you to die. And what does Jesus say? He says, you're fighting the wrong battle. You're engaged in the wrong thing. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. Can I give you a word of revelation? Anytime you're trying to do things out of your own will, even though it might sound good, you can be operating under a spiritual attack. And so Jesus made it clear, if you're fighting against what I'm trying to make accomplish, then you are a child of Satan. But I don't think that was intentional. And so that lets us know, you cannot be fighting against what God is trying to build up. It might not look the most beautiful. It might not be the best plan. But don't fight against God's will. Don't fight against God's plan. Because there was something greater. As we know, Jesus was trying to unfold. And we've all messed up when we try to do the right thing, but we don't get the right response. Have you ever tried to fix it with somebody? Have you ever tried to make some things right with people? And you're trying to get it in order, and you're trying to do the right thing, and you have an expectation of what the response should be, but you're trying to do what you think is right, and when you do what you think is right, it blows up in your I got some witnesses here in this house. And you can become bitter because of that. And Peter could have been bitter because I thought I was fighting for you. But you know what the underlying message is? Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you might not understand why you might have to hold back. But sometimes you have to hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battles, because he says victory shall be mine. And so when you're going through a storm that you don't understand, that's all right. He could call down a legion of angels, but he does not have to. He sees the big picture and he understands, I might go down to a grave, and at first it might look like defeat, but don't you get it twisted. I'm gonna rise on the third day, and when I rise up, that lets you know all power is in my hand. And so I don't care what the storm looks like. I don't care how you might feel defeated. If you keep your eyes on the will of God, can you hear me this morning? I know you're facing your battle and you're going through your test and you're slicing everything around you and you're trying to fix it all around you. You are wearing yourself out. How about a rest in the Lord? And say, I got a feeling everything will be all right. Why? Not my will. My will might hurt. My will might be uncomfortable. But God, not my will. Thy will be done. I will engage in the right battle. One of my favorite Bible characters. Devin should have been named this name, but, you know, we had a disagreement. It's all good. Devin Fitz.
Somebody said, let it go, Pastor. Let it go. He'll be 14 next week. I got to let it go. But I wanted to name one of my children Josiah, because Josiah was 7 years old when he brought revival to Israel. Israel was so far gone. Israel was so far out there. I mean, bad king after bad king. No one was serving God. No one was being obedient. And he had a ridiculous, awful father. And if anybody could have made an excuse, like we always make excuses, Josiah could have had the biggest excuse of them all. I'm just the third, fourth generation of bad kings. Israel is too far gone. Things are too far bad. Things are too far lost. Haven't you heard people talk to you that way? That if maybe things were different in my past, and my present wouldn't be the way they are. But Josiah said no. And Josiah began to worship. And Josiah began to get in the word. And the Josiah began to pray. And when you begin to worship, and when you begin to get in the word, and when you begin to pray, can I tell you, things that you thought could never turn around can actually turn around. I wish somebody would hear what I'm saying. You might tune me out because you think it's too late. I tell you to wake up and tell the devil he's a liar. It's not too late. I shall believe in the report of the Lord. And when I worship, and when I pray, and when I get in the word, then God gives me strategies. Is there anybody that wants a word of God to give you strategy for your situation? Let me tell you, God has a strategy for your victory. And he brought revival to Israel in their lowest point. But again, I think it fits us, because we need to know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. They can't be defeated by ordinary measures. And how many people are beating their head against the wall because they're trying to fix it first? They're trying to do it first. If I can get myself together, trust me, I'll walk with God. If I can just get all my sins out of the way, and I just kind of get myself kind of position where I just discipline myself, and I and you're stuttering around because you found the more you try, the more you fall on your face. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 35. We keep taking things into our own hands, and we don't hear what the Word of God has to say. We don't look and listen to the assistance of God. We don't pray. We don't. Now hear me. Hear me. Because people say, what are you talking about? I do pray. But we have our own definition instead of biblical definitions. You opening up your mouth and saying something is not necessarily prayer. When Jesus talked about prayer, he talked about an impotent woman who was in need of justice. And she constantly kept going to that judge, even if he turned her away. Some of you are not praying because you're not praying for that impossible thing anymore, so you're not praying. You're praying when that immovable force is still in front of you right now. You're praying when God does not answer, you keep on praying, and you keep on knocking. And you keep on asking, and you keep on seeking. And what would happen if we would get a burden to pray like that? Our altars would be filled, because true prayer is taking place. Not I prayed once, and I'll sit back with my arms crossed to see when God moves. Think about Hannah. Hannah prayed every year, God, give me a son. And she came back again, and she prayed again. I don't care how many years it took, but she kept on praying. You know what we need in this hour? Is prayer that says, I'm not going to stop praying until my change comes. I am going to pray until something happens. And I'm going to keep on opening my mouth, no matter how ridiculous I might look and how dark the clouds might get. Some of you, you're right on the edge of a breakthrough if you keep on praying. I'm telling somebody that God
God's about to do it, but you got to engage. And it might not happen tomorrow. It might not happen next week. It might not happen this year, but you cannot be moved. And too many of you are missing out on what God wants because you're not really praying. But prayer is, God, I don't care how long it takes. I'm not letting go until you bless me. Oh, I feel tenacity rising in this place. I feel spiritual indignation rising on individuals right now. I feel a spiritual bulldog being called out of the ashes right now. And your faith is arising because you're saying, my eyes are on the solution, Jesus. And after all this, after all that Josiah did, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, the king of Egypt, came to fight, watch it, against Carchemish by Euphrates. That was not the territory of Israel. That was not the people of Israel. But Josiah went out against him. Josiah was anointed, as Josiah had brought revival. Josiah had conquered. Josiah had momentum. And now there was one king fighting against another king. And Josiah said, I think I'll show up and participate in this battle. And what happens in verse number 21, Brother Kenny? But he sent ambassadors to him saying, what do I have to do with you? King of Judah, I'm not coming against you this day, but against the house, next verse. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of who? God. God was trying to warn Josiah and said, this is not the battle you're supposed to be fighting. You're fighting against people and things that you should not be fighting. And he came out to fight in the valley of Megiddo. But what happened in the next verse we see here, and the archer shot at King Josiah. And the king said to his servants, have me away, for I am sore wounded. Next verse. His servant, therefore, took him out of that chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had. And they brought him to Jerusalem. And what happened to him? He died and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers. Josiah died in a battle he was not even supposed to be in. Some of you are dying spiritually because all your attention and all your focus is on the wrong thing. Some of you are being sucked dry. Resources sucked dry. Energy sucked dry. Life sucked dry. Tears sucked dry. Focus sucked dry. Because you are focusing on something God has never intended you to focus on. And how many people are getting killed by random things and random archers that weren't even supposed to strike you because you are fighting against the wrong thing and you're focusing on the wrong thing. Yes, we have to engage, but we have to engage in the right battle. And your future is suffering because you're fighting the wrong battles. But in Deuteronomy, it speaks of the failure of the children of Israel to fight. And I'm closing with this last thought. They refused to fight for the possessions that God had for them. But now we find, as Moses summarizes what took place up to this point, he says, but there is a new group.
And in Numbers chapter 26, we find them beginning to break down all the now survivors that were now those that were 20 years and under, those that God did not kill, because all those that were 20 years old and above, God had to get them out of the way. And I speak this respectfully as I can, but God spoke to me and let me know there are people that are physically not in this church anymore. And that is absolutely okay, because God has to get rid of some in order to get those that are ready to cross over to fight and with faith and belief and not be held back by naysayers and not be held back by those that don't believe. And so Moses was saying, hey, when Joshua shows up on the scene and when those of his generation comes up, there will be a new thing that I'm going to do, and they're going to have a new mentality and say, victory shall be ours. We're not going to fight against fear and worry and doubt. We are going to fight towards the possession that God has for us. And let me tell you, God has a great future for this church. Are you excited about it? Can you feel it? Can you feel the momentum? Can you feel the excitement? Can you feel the synergy amongst the people of God and saying, yes, it's time to cross over. I'm so sick and tired of this wilderness. I want Jericho. I want that mountain. I want everything that God has. So this is a new group that God is beginning to work with. And then you had Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Israel. And you know what they said? We want to stay here right on the east side of the Jordan. We're going to cross over and we're going to fight. But what was happening was they had a sense, they had an understanding. God's doing things right now. And I don't even want to wait to the final victory. Can I tell you, there will be next victories. But right now, you got to see that victory right in front of you and put in your post and say, this is now my territory. This is now my progress. This is now my hope. I don't have to wait till we conquer everything. Some of you, please hear me right now. The devil's trying to lie to you and tell you you have to have everything conquered before you feel victorious. I want to tell you right now, some of you are walking in victory right now. Some of you don't even know how far you came. Do I have anybody that can look back where you've been and see where God has brought you from and where you are now? You should praise God for where you are right now. You might not have every wall down, but you know where you were last year. You know where God has brought you from. I believe we have a new group of people here at Lighthouse. And so it's fitting to speak about this on a theme service. Ready to come out of the wilderness. Ready to possess what God has for us. So chapter 2 explains who he did not want them to fight. He says, don't fight against Esau. Why is he saying these things? Because we're going to fight. But we're going to fight the right thing. We're going to engage, but we're going to engage the right thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay. So he says, don't fight with Esau. But what I do want you to do, everyone say, rise up. I love that word. Some of you, I got to give you this word. You've been sitting down too long. You've been waiting for too long. You're waiting on something. You're waiting on this vast vision, this vast thing, this vast whatever it is. You're just kind of anticipating something that God's never told you to wait for. And here all this time, they wandered in the wilderness. But all they needed was someone to tell them, get up. I'm telling somebody right now, get up. I'm telling somebody, please hear me this morning. It's time for you to get up and shake yourself from your past and shake yourself from the things that have tried to hold you down. Shake yourself. You have to give Samson credit for one thing. I know he messed up, but when that enemy came in, he said, I will shake myself. There's something you got to do with your mind. You got to shake your head, shake yourself, and say, no longer do I sit on the sidelines waiting for something to happen. So long as I'm engaged in what God wants me to engage in,
I don't have to sit down defeated anymore. Is there anybody that's tired of sitting down on the sidelines, feeling all shameful, feeling all condemned, fully full of guilt? Yes, I know you were in the wilderness for 40 years, but that time is over. It's a new hour. It's a new day. It's a new opportunity. Rise up in this hour. Rise up in this moment and fight. Fight. Fight.
Once you get up, I'm going to give you direction. But I'm not giving you direction until you stop sucking your thumb. I'm not giving you direction until you stop feeling sorry for yourself. I'm not going to help you until you stop feeling and making a pity party on what happened in your past. I know what happened in your past. I was there and I hurt with you. I walk with you. But that's behind you. It's time to engage. It's time to fight. It's time to get back what the devil stole from you. It's time to get your joy back. It's time to get your hope back. Get your future back. Get your fight back. Rise up and I will give you a word.
I'm an equipping God. Where do you see Israel defeated indefinitely? Never. Never.
Pass over the river Arnon. Behold, look, look. I have given you Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon. And his land begin. Start. Initiate. Engage. I've already done it. In fact, let me tell you what I've already been doing. Contend with him in battle. I'm telling you who you can fight against. You fight against those that are stepping on what belongs to you. Do you know what belongs to you? I tell you, joy belongs to you. So if you've lost your joy, that's your Sihon, that's your Amorite, and you can rise up and say, this is the day the Lord has. You know what? We need to start doing that. Aren't you tired of that cloud over your head?
To be a spiritual breakthrough. You're not going to be depressed after this service if you engage. Today's a new day. This is your hour. I see smiles even through the mask because I think somebody believes it. I know you've been in that wilderness, but rise up. I'm about to give you something. I'm going to give you your joy back. I'm going to give you your peace back. I'm going to give you your dance back. I'm going to give you your mojo back, some of your swag. Your husband and your wife go say, what's got a hold of you? And you're saying, I'm just rising up in the hope that God is putting inside of my spirit. My family go be okay. My health go be okay. My marriage go be okay. My job go be okay. My mind go be okay. Everything go be all right because I got a feeling on the inside that God has already went before me. You are going to contend with him in battle. Everyone say, I'm getting ready to fight. Pull up the next verse. What's the next verse? Verse 25. Aren't you tired of waiting on next week? Hey, ladies, I know you had a wonderful conference, but don't wait till next conference. Hey, young people, we had a fantastic youth convention, but don't wait for youth convention. Brother Damone, I know men's conference is coming up in September, but before we ever get to men's conference, read the first two verses. Someone say, this day, not tomorrow. I'm not waiting another day. I'm not waiting another moment. I'm not waiting another second. I'm getting my joy today. I'm getting my fear out today. I'm allowing my hope to arise today. Because this day God is going to do something. Clap your hands right now with all your might like you believe it's happening right now. Clap your hands and say today. Clap your hands and say today. Clap your hands and say today.
The cool thing about it is not us. That's what I love about God. What I love about the church. Somebody ain't telling you this, they're lying to you. It's not about me. It's about God. Ooh, I love getting that revelation. It's not about me, Sister Barlow. I might mess up. I might fail. But God says, it ain't about you. God's talking. I will I begin to put the dread of you and the fear of you upon the nations. I hope it's not too deep. Because some of you think it's normal for you to walk in fear. Some of you, all you know is walking in confusion. All you know is walking in fear. All you know is working in oppression and anxiety and depression. And God says, it's backwards. You got to start saying that out loud and saying, it's backwards for me as a child of God to walk around in fear. It is backwards for me as a child and son, a daughter of God, to walk around with my head down because of what my environment looks like. You know what needs to happen inside of us? That we change it and we turn it around and say, devil, I'm not afraid of you. You're afraid of me. When I understand what God is doing in me, you're the one that has to run. When you begin to understand what God can do for you, you no longer tuck your tail and run. You open up your mouth and say, yeah, I'm full of victory. Yeah, I'm anointed. Yeah, I'm appointed. And I got an anointing upon me. And I've been in the wilderness for too long. And now because I'm rising up, God is going to do it through me. And it's going to turn around. The things that I used to fear are going to start fearing me. Are you fear of that addiction? That addiction is going to bring deliverance, and not just for yourself. You're going to tell somebody else, God did it for me, and now I'm going to the enemy's camp, and I'm going to see some addicted people no longer have that addiction. Are you hearing me this morning? There's some of you that are bound by cigarettes and drugs and alcohol, but God says it's been dreading you, it's been heavy on your heart, but when I touch you, but when I heal you, but when I deliver you, it ain't just going to be for you. You're going to leave the four walls of this house and you're going to shout all over your neighborhood, the power of God is in me. And that same power in the name of Jesus is going to fill you. Is there anybody believing in this house? Ex-crackheads, ex-meth heads, ex-drug addicts are going to come running down the aisles and say, the joy of the Lord has moved in my life. Shout, 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 shout. Tama, Tama, Ramaya. Satan, your kingdom is coming down. We are coming out of our wildernesses. I know where I've been, but I can't stay here. I'm going to a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm going to go where I did not go before. Nations that are under the whole heaven shall hear report of you. See, the devil's distracted you and told you you're nothing. You don't think in the past that God can do it through you. And God is saying today, Sister Wheeler, I'm going to do it through you. Your family's coming back through you, but not just you, but you as well. And you got mamas and daddies that need salvation. Can I tell you, it's going to be all right. The whole earth is going to hear what God is going to do. All you have to do is say, rise. It ain't about everything that you can do. It's about in you believing in the report of the Lord. I don't know how, it don't even matter. All I know is I got a word. All I know is I heard the voice of God that says, rise up. Rise up. Rise up. and they're going to tremble and be in anguish because of you. You know why Satan wants us to be distracted? He knows the greatness in us more than we know ourselves. So if I can just distract you, that's my way of procrastinating the inevitable. The inevitable is as long as I got a Joshua. Y'all ain't hearing me. Because some, can I be honest? Some of you are frustrated because you think in your mind you're the only one that's sincere about a move of God. Come on, be honest. All right, me. Sometimes it's me. Sometimes I'm passionate. Like, God, do these people even care? Can we get two services in a row with the same two people showing up in a row? Ever? Like, can you ever just come this week and next week just once? Can I tell you how I feel? Facebook Live, are you listening? Right? Can you imagine how Joshua and Caleb felt? Man, we're the only ones that believe God. And sometimes those of us that feel that way feel like you've been in the wilderness for 40 years because you can't get everybody on board. But Caleb said, I know I've been waiting for 45 years, but I'm just as strong now as I was 40 years ago. Sister Barlow, can I tell you? I know we were strong in 2010 when we took over, or 11th, the very beginning of January. And I know we've been through tests and trials, and you've seen it. Brother Lawson, you've seen the struggle. Brother DeMond, you've seen the struggle we've been through in this church. But I'm not here to complain about what happened in those times in between now and then. I'm just telling you, I'm still excited and as strong because now is a new generation that's been rose up. There's some anointed people in these pews. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you. You are anointed. You are appointed. You is your hour. You have what it takes, and we're going to take over the city in Jesus' name. That's why Joshua and that's why Caleb had so much energy. He said, it ain't just us no more. There are more on board that says we're more than able to see God's kingdom come. I want you to stand. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, let the Holy Ghost move in this place. Let the Holy Ghost stir somebody. Let the Holy Ghost awaken us. This is the battle that we're supposed to fight.
Get ready.
Watch what happens when we fight the right battle. Watch what happens when we're going to fight the right war. Watch what happens when we begin to engage the right way. When we're going to intercede and pray. Hallelujah. But when we're doing it in faith, that everything is about to turn around. I want you to raise your hand all over this house and start believing that God's about to turn some stuff around. I want you to start seeing what God's about to do in your home. I want you to see it and believe it. How many engage in the right battle? How many understand that there's more with me than there are with them? How many win over my home, over my mind? I'm going to win. My house shall be sanctified. My house shall be filled. The power of God is going to start to flow through me. I am the vessel. I'm 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 the vessel. Hata mahaya mahora mahata. Hikete sete anahaya. Come on, these altars are open for somebody that wants to engage. These altars for somebody that wants to get serious. These altars for somebody that know this is your moment. This is your day. This is your hour and your opportunity
to engage in the right fight, but you're going to win. You're going to win. Don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. It's in your hands. It's in your hands. It's in your hands. You have the power. All you gotta do is rise up. All you gotta do is believe. All you gotta do is cry out. All you gotta do is worship Him and say, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing. I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing. Telling my yet they all hold up higher. Come on, He wanna raise you up. Come on, He wanna take you further. It's in you, it's in you, it's in you, it's in you. I've been pulling for you, I've been calling you, I've been drawing you, and you can't shake it, you can't get away from it, because I've been drawing you unto myself. I've been holding on to you with the work of God. Let that burden flow. I gave it to you, I put it inside of you. I've anointed you now. I've anointed you now. I've anointed you now. Warriors have been raised up. 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 Warriors have been raised up right now. You've been wondering why you've been feeling the way you've been feeling. I tell you, because God's raising you up, warrior. You've been wondering why you had this burden that you could not shake, because you're a warrior that God is raising up in this hour. And God wants to know it's your moment, your hour, your season. I've called you for such a time as this. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Keep on holding on. Don't waver. Don't waver. Don't be Peter. You might want to do the right thing, but you might do it for the wrong reason. Let God be God. 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 The Holy Ghost is talking to everybody. The Holy Ghost is breaking through. The Holy Ghost is moving. The Holy Ghost is doing. The Holy Ghost is moving. The Holy Ghost is overshadowing. The Holy Ghost is overflowing. It's not about the Holy Ghost. Today, 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 today is your day of power. Today, your day of deliverance. Today is your day of hope. Today is your day of power and anointing of God. Build up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost. You're anointed, you're anointed, you're anointed, you're anointed to engage, you're anointed to fight, you're anointed to win, you're anointed to be successful. You're the head, not the tail. God's hand is on your life. God's hand on your future. God's hand on your family. God's hand is on you. 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 God has been drawing you. God has been filling you. God's overflowing inside of you. Get all of it. Get all of it.